processes here and shared. And remember, we talked about preparing by explaining their need for forgiveness, preparing the past for him to come into their lives by last week, demonstrating teachings by our own conduct, how important it is. People are looking at you to find out if what you've got is what they want. Wouldn't it be hard to believe somebody would look at you and you guys all got the good stuff, right? But if we don't reflect it in a good light, wouldn't that be a shame to them to say, I don't want what Tim's got? It's like, oh my goodness, what do they see in me that I don't see? What's happening, Lord? Do a work in me, Lord, to where I am representing you as I should be, as you have entrusted me with your word. He's entrusted all of us. You guys too, right? With his word. And so I want people to sit there and say, I want what you've got. Don't you want that people to say that to you? I want whatever it is that you've gotten. How do I get it? Now, they may be kind of questionable how they get it because it sounds too simple, right? It's like, you mean I don't have to go through this, and 12 steps and 15 steps and this and that? And no, it's just these simple things that we can do. But I believe the Holy Spirit will give you those words to say, don't you, when the time is right, for what they need to hear at the time that where they're at. And everything will build from that. Everything will just begin to grow from that. And so this is that whole process of preparing the works for him to come, for God to come. Just like John the Baptist, man. We're all doing that. And you've already known, and we've talked about the definition and what this was meaning when John was sharing these things. Today I want to go into the last that I had listed for this that I want to talk about. And it's to get to that point of telling them how Christ can give their lives meaning. Anybody know anybody out there right now that figures that, have you been in contact with somebody this last week, this last year, whatever time frame, and sometimes you talk to them and they just feel like their lives have no purpose. They have no meaning. It's like, why do you think that? Well, they have bought the lie from the devil, right? They bought the lie from the world, the god of this world, the devil, that you're never going to amount to anything. There is no reason for you to be here. You're an accident. You shouldn't be here. You're just a waste of oxygen. All these things. And many people have that thought process. But we have that opportunity to go out there and to share with them that no, God, Christ, his death, his resurrection, his washing your sins, coming into you as the Holy Spirit, all of these things are happening because why? Your life has a purpose. Now, it might take you some time to get over that hump. Oh, remember what preparing the way is? Preparing that path, taking the humps out, taking the low spots out, filling them in, crooked places. You might need to try to do some narrowing of that path. But we are to prepare that path. And it's going to take different looks and different things on your part. And you're going to have to be ready to respond with what they are asking about or what they are struggling with. And if you try to do it on your own, you're going to mess up. If you try to possibly do it intellectually, that's not going to work because they might be more intellectual than you in other aspects, and you'll just get into an argument, and pretty soon you'll say, well, let's just part ways. But if you come into it with that of a heart of compassion, love, and not condemning, and just being open, and just be an open book. Hallelujah. Be an open book. The Bible should be an open book in our lives to where it shares a lot of stories, a lot of tragedies, a lot of good things and a lot of bad things, but a lot of good things and a lot of good things and more good things. I would believe as I look in the Bible that there's more good things that develop than bad, don't you? But we've got to give that encouragement. We've got to prepare that. We got to prepare that their lives do have a meaning and a purpose. Do you figure that's going to take probably just maybe a 15-minute conversation with them and that's it? Maybe, but I doubt it. It's probably going to take a day, 2 days, one meeting, three meetings, five meetings. What are we beginning to do? We're beginning to build a relationship. I believe for us to really, and there'll be those times when it's a fast thing in, they receive salvation and Jesus Christ. That will always happen. And we're not going to discount that. But a lot of these times, it's going to be a thing of preparing them, working with them in just conversation, understanding them, hearing their heart, hearing their hurt, hearing what they have gone through in life. But then they come back and say, "Boy, I'm so sorry that you had to go through all that. But can I share something with you that I believe will help you? Matter of fact, I know it will help you because it's helped me. I may not have had the same hurts and the heartaches and all that you've had, but I've had hurts and heartaches. Anybody in this room, has everybody in this room had hurts and heartaches in their life? Well, good, we're all the same. But I can empathize with you and understand the hurt. But let me begin to share something that I've learned some time back. And it depends on how long you've been with that of God and His Word, how much He's been in your life, or really, it's this. It's how much you've allowed Him into your life. It's not what He's done as far as what He's gotten into your life to do, but it's like, what have you allowed Him to come into? Just like earlier I had said, "Lord, I need more of you to pour into me to get this stuff of me out of me. I'm afraid that there's still too much Tim in Tim." Anybody else got too much of themselves possibly in themselves? I see a hand, sister. Yeah, we all do. You got to admit it, guys. Because if you don't, the enemy's already got you blinded to that. So we've got to be looking at these things and saying, "Search my heart, O God. Make it ever true." Why? Because I want to be like you. And so we are on this path, the same path that we're trying to encourage others to come on this path with us. Now, I may be here, and those that I talk to may be a little bit further back or way back as they just start on this journey. But we will be there for a season. Someone else will come along for another season, whatever the case might be. But the whole thing about it is we have all been working and preparing the paths, paths for God to come into that life. And it takes us, guys. It's why it's so prevalent and important that we have this understanding with Him, that we are ministers of His gospel, of His good news. And then we've got to reflect it, we've got to share it, we've got to be willing, in season, out of season. You know, don't think you got to be, "Oh, before I go out, I got to be all ready because I might have this," because chances are when you're all ready and you're loaded up, for us, we've got to be, just be ready, in season and out. And the Lord, and this is what's encouraging about it, is because the Lord will give you the words to say when you need to say it. If you trust in that of the Holy Spirit to come and just, He's ministering, He's in you, man. He's as much in you as, you know, whatever you just ate that morning for breakfast. More so. But He's in us. He's part of us. He lives in us. "In Him I live and move and have my being. Make a joyful noise. Shout unto the Lord." Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, if you're not singing and shouting and jumping for the Lord, it's hard for you to go out and minister to somebody that's already sad and sorrowful and having problems and depression to look at you and say, "Well, I don't want what you got, man. Doom and gloom and agony and despair." The old hee-haw rendition. Well, I tell you what, we do so good at talking about the doom and the gloom. And we allow the doom and the gloom to just come in and encamp in us. And we can get so down into what the world's doing as well. But we got to learn to rise above it. Take ourselves up higher than that. Because God is looking at it. I want remember one time I talked about, I don't know, the Lord gave me this. I think I just shared it one Sunday. It comes out. It's like we need to get elevated and look at it from the height that God is looking at circumstances. We got a 120-foot tower out there. I don't know if it's probably not legal for you to climb it, but, you know, you probably don't want to do that. But if you get up there, it gives you a different perspective of what's down there. And generally, when you're looking at that, you're going, "That's not so high." But when you climb it and you get up there and you look down, you go, "This is really high." Perspective. What we perceive it to be. Until we get there, we look at it and we go, "Hey, it's a lot different than what I thought." But we got to get to that elevated level of where God is at to look at these problems. Because when you're in the midst of your problem, all you see is what? The problem. The heartache, the hurt, the misery, the pain, the suffering. Step back. Do whatever. Climb up. Climb on that hill. And say, "Lord, give me your perspective of what this is about. And I rest in that." But anyway, that's a lot of us that This is an ongoing daily thing for all of us that's in his army. Amen. You know, we're in God's army. Every day we wake up, you got to be ready for the enemy. Every day you wake up, you got to do what you need to do to prepare for that day. Meditation, pre-prayer, prayer in the morning, Bible reading in the morning, prayer in the afternoon, whatever the case is, whatever part of that army that you're on or in, because you know what? When the army is out there, there's always somebody 24/7 on guard or watching for who? The enemy. We have wonderful prayer warriors that are up in the midnight hours, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I believe that, don't you? I bet there's some of you here like that. You wake up, and you go, what did I wake up for? Try to roll over to go back to sleep, and guess what? You can't go to sleep. Well, as a Christian in God's army, I begin to say, okay, Lord, if I'm up, I'll say a prayer. And I just start opening my heart and just thinking of the church family here, things out there, family over here that I've got, whatever it happens to be, and I just began to flow with that. But anyway, we need to let them know that Christ can give meaning into their lives. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be built up. We've got to be showing those same things. The verse that was pivotal in my turning for God and doing what he has asked me to do, and could be for others, but I tell you, this is my verse, and you can't have it. Well, you can have it if you want. Everybody knows it's 29:11, Jeremiah 29:11. Tell you what, when I and you or whoever, when you're looking at things in life and there's a change or you don't know where you're at or you think that what is my life about? When God opened this verse up to me and I read it and I thought about it and I meditated and I thought about it and I read it and keep reading it. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, anybody been there to where when you're going through things in your life and it just seems to be all mixed up and you're trying to get heads or tails and what's going on, and you can't find that relaxation, you can't find I just don't know. It went on for days, weeks, months. And then all of a sudden, God shows this to me when I'm going through the scriptures one evening, long, long, long time back in a motel. And I tell you what, it was one of those special times because it wasn't just that logos of the word, it was that rhema of the word, because when I read that scripture, something in me just sparked. Anybody, when you've read God's word, something sparks inside you? It's like, boom! That's mine. I'm declaring that. I could have read it and read it and read it. Big deal. It's a good message. Good thing happening in Jeremiah's day and all these things. But for me, in whatever year that was, but that hit me to the point of I can rest. Because when I hear from God and I know I'm listening and following God, his plan and his purpose for me is not to fail, just like it's not for any of your lives, no matter where you're at. It's not to fail, but it's to succeed. Okay? Isn't it good to succeed in things? It's hard to succeed in this world. You think you're succeeding until the world knocks it out from under you, you know? And generally that's because the world, after they're done with you, they'll just take it away and say, okay, move on to the next one, you know? But for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. That comforted me. Peace. 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 I rested. I took a deep breath, probably like, wow, peace. I like that word. And then it says to give you, Tim, a future. I had a career. I had whatever. I thought I was going to retire where I was at. I was thinking like, piece of cake. I love it. It'll go okay. But things changed. I no longer had the love, the desire, the drive for where I was at with the secular job that I had when I started. And that's one thing I told God. I said, God, I love what I'm doing so much. I don't want to leave it and serve you. I'll do it when I retire. See, as we all do, we bargain with God. We try to, you know, do the shell game. And I've told that over and over, so you know where that goes. But all of a sudden that changed. I began to have the hunger and the desire and the drive. The love that I had for the job I had, for the company I was working for, flipped to the things of the kingdom of God. It's like, wow, that's all I want to do. Serve you, God. Do whatever you want me to do, Lord. I want to come and be used by you. As long as it's between the East and West Coast, and between Canada and Mexico. Don't send me overseas. I'd go if he said to go. Amen. But anyway, see, we change. We all can change. And you've got to get an understanding within yourself before you can go out and prepare the past for others that you can change. And if you can change, they can change. But the only thing that doesn't change in this whole equation is who? God. I change not. God is not going to change to satisfy you for your circumstances and for what you're in. God is saying, I am here for your circumstances and what you're in, and I have got a plan and a purpose, and it's for success and not for failure, and I will give you a peace. But it comes with one thing. What would that be, Lord? You've got to serve me. You've got to serve me, and it could be in a secular job. I'm not saying that that can't be. That's mission field. But it's like, you, Tim, have got to come to me. Because in later on, as I look at this and I read further down, and it really helps solidify what he's saying before that, but it says, then when you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, verse 13, and find me. See, he's not hide and seek. God is not hiding. We think, we tell people like, oh, I've been searching for God all my life, and I've just not found him, or he's not in my life, I can't find him. God is not hiding behind the bush. Now, he might have been in the burning bush at one time. Okay, we'll give you that. But God is not hiding. He is out there in the open. He's right there. Here I am. Come to me, all ye with heavy hearts, heavy laden, and I will give you rest, peace, joy, meaning to your life. But I'm easy to be found. The reason why some people might say, well, I've been trying to find it, and it just hasn't happened, and blah, blah, blah. Here again, the devil of this, the God of this world, the devil has clouded their eyes, shielded their eyes, put scales over their eyes, hardened their heart, seared their mind, all of these things that we all read in his word. So when you hear those things, how would you going to pray? Lord, take the scales off of their eyes. Open their heart to receive you. Give them clarity in their mind, that they begin to renew that mind with you, Lord. All of these things that we know, how do we know them, guys? It's because we've read them in Scripture, right? And so we're taking the stuff out of Scripture and we're putting it into the basics of life that we live, eat, and breathe, and walk. Remember, in him I live and move and have my being. His word in me, I go out. I should be expelling his word to those around me, or be an example, or share this or share that when I hear something from them. Because it was no different in the days of my sinning life, that if I knew something, that not of God, but if I knew something or whatever, didn't hurt me to interject something into their life or to tell them what I thought. But now it's taken on a different meaning, a different response. Because it's not Tim responding with how Tim would do it. It's Tim responding, being led by that of the Holy Spirit in me to share what they need to hear. And believe it or not, sometimes what they need to hear, they may not want to hear. Anybody been there? You may not be, you know, a friend at that very time when you say something to that, but it's called tough love. Tough love. No, you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm telling this to you because I love you enough that you need to get a hold of this. And if I didn't say this, I would let you go down this road to hell. And I speak this in love, and I speak this in sincerity. And what I speak to you, I will be glad to do whatever I can to help you, work with you, mentor you, disciple you. See, when we go out and we share the gospel message, a lot of people want to share the gospel message, say the prayer, you've been saved, I'm going to the next. And that poor person's out on the street corner, out at their work desk, at home, at the golf course, wherever, and they're going, well, what now? What now? No, you share that. They say the prayer that you're led to say by that of the Spirit, and then you try to hook them into a Bible study, a discipleship. You yourself need to look at it as, I need to try to help this person and disciple this person. So that this not only just hits and falls off, I want it to hit and I want it to soak in. I want them to marinate in this Word of God. And if it's me, Lord, help me have the opportunities, the timing, or whatever it is, to continue to prepare the paths for how God is going to continue to move in to that life. To where that life eventually says, be Lord of my whole life. Not just a temporary live-in, not just to come in and just live in one or two rooms of my mansion, because some of us have a pretty good-sized mansion, but we've got to sit there and say, we've got to give you all, Lord. Come and inhabit all of me, Lord. From the attic down to the basement, Lord. Closet to closet. Continue to work on that. Continue to allow that to happen. Allow him to continue to move in your life. And do you think maybe he'll be moving into your life until you're called home? Probably. I don't think I'll ever get, maybe you might, I don't know, but I got a feeling that I will never get to whatever, at age 75, and I'm going to sit there, well, I'm totally full of everything of God. Everything is all his. And then at 2 days later, something happens, and I get upset and I get mad. Whoops. Whoops. Must have been on the top shelf of the closet. Didn't get on that part. No, we're going to continually be filled and continue to fill, and he's going to continue to keep moving in as you allow him to move in. And then you're going to be able to take that and share that with others to help them through this process. You have to let them know it could happen instantly. Everything just goes good. Everything's fine. But we're going to find out here, if I can get into this a little bit more, of some of the notes that I got here, what I want to do. So now we are always, and this is looking at Jeremiah 29:11. We are always encouraged by a leader who stirs us to move ahead or forward. And that's why you've got bosses, you know, if they're a good boss, they're there to help you grow. They're there to help you develop. They're there to find more of your abilities and to bring those abilities out so that you can perform at a higher standard, be a blessing, be a positive thing for that company. In the secular market of where I was working, that was what I was always doing and developing and helping people learn to grow, to develop, to increase themselves into what they could do from hourly to a department manager to even getting them into a district manager's position, which several of them did through my, but only by that of the God working in me and just how I dealt with people. But I never felt threatened by them if they would know my job. I wanted to show them everything that I knew of that position so that they could do it, and hopefully they could even do it better than me. It is true, to the most part, when it's done right, that you will be promoted by the people under you and how they do their job. And so we've got to look at this, but it says, we are always encouraged by a leader who stirs us to move ahead or forward. This individual believes that we can do the task that they have given to us to do. But also they will be with us all along the way as we work to complete the task. Naturally, you're there to help. You're there to groom them, to teach them, to show them. And a lot of times what you're wanting to do is show them and tell them the things that you did that were wrong to say what? Don't do this. I tried this. It didn't work. Do this. But that's a leader. That's someone overseeing you. That's someone helping you. That's someone that's saying, I think you can do this job. I know you've got the ability to do it. I know that you can learn it. I know that you can follow this. You can do this. You can do it. And just like God and telling each and every one of you out there, some of us get to that point to where we say, I can't do it. And God will say, I know you can't do it, Tim, but it's me in you that will do it, but you just got to allow more of me in you so that we can do it. And when we can do it, Tim can say, I give all honor and glory to God. Not my ability, not my knowledge, not my understanding. Other than my knowledge and understanding is that of God. And his word, how true, how effective it is, how effective it is. It is so true. Isn't it phenomenal how it approaches and how it speaks into the day that we are alive? These things are like 4,000, 5,000 years old, whatever the case is. 2,000 plus now since the cross, but these things that we read are so relevant for today. How did they have that much knowledge back then? How did they know what 2020 was going to be? Speaking of the plague, speaking of COVID, being blessed by God, be a child of His, trust Him, believe in Him. Pray that, Lord, keep me strong and healthy during this time. Myself, my wife, my sons, my daughters, my grandkids. Did some of them get it? Yeah. But it's a very, ricocheted amount, A couple of kids got it, and, a day later, they're fine. A couple of them being around people that, they're experiencing it. Go get tested. Praise God. 2 days, test comes back. They're negative. We pray that protection of God upon us. And it's not, and it's just not for the time of COVID, is it? It's for life. That's for everything we go through, guys. It's for 2022, 2023. It was for 1995, 1974, 1962. But the Word in His Word is the Word for the day. It changes not. It gives us strength and ability to face the challenges of tomorrow. We find in Jeremiah that God is that kind of a leader. Now we look at it in God's eyes. That's how God is. What a God. What a leader. Amen. Woo! We're following the greatest leader of all times. We find in Jeremiah that God is this kind of a leader. He knows the future. He knows the plans He has for us, and they are good. Devil will say bad. God's plans for you are good and full of hope. The future. This is to be specifically existing after death. We think about that. And that's one of the biggest things about it. We know the future holds for us eternity. Amen. But we're looking at it also in the natural. It's to express of a time yet to come. You guys have times in your lives right now that are yet to come. Isn't that exciting? I don't care what age you are. There's something that you've got planned out there. It's going to happen and it's ready for you. We just got to get to that point of saying, let me get to it. Let me attain it. Let me fulfill it. Lord, help me do it. To express of time yet to come, existing or occurring at a later time. He knows the future of what He has for us. We may not know it, but guess what? God knows it because He knows all from the beginning to the end and everything in between. Another one is, it's a time to come. It's what's going to happen. An expectation of advancement or progressive development. For I know the future that I have for you. He wants to develop us and progress us to that point to where He continues and says, well done, good and faithful servant. A hope. Hope. This is the 1828 Webster. It says this, a desire of some good, accompanied with at least slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. Now listen to this. Hope differs from wish and desire in this way, that it implies some expectations of obtaining the good desired, or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire, they may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. Oh, I wish this hadn't happened to me. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, I wish, pain, anxiety, things of that nature. Modern Webster on hope says, to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or to be true, to desire with expectation of obtainment or fulfillment, to expect with confidence. These are things that we look at in God's Word when He talks about these things. For I know the thoughts I think, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future, something out there. I'm looking at my life right now. It's a mess. What can this be all about? No, He would say. No, what I've got for you, it's out here. You've got to go through this mess. You've got to go through this situation. But it's better right down the road. Come on. What is that? Oh, it just comes to that song. I can just hear it now. There's a blessing coming down that road, that dusty road. There's a blessing coming down that dusty road. Your future is not today. Your future is tomorrow. Today is what you're going to use to prepare yourself to go into your tomorrows. You prepare yourselves to go into your tomorrows by learning, of course, possibly, things from their past so that you don't do it again. Unless it was good, then you're going to do it again to help you propel. Or it's things that you're learning today as it sets to learn how and what is it, Lord, that's going to take me down that road to what you've got planned for me. And then that hope that I know it's going to happen. Why? Because God said it's going to happen. God says it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's not because of God's side of it. It is because of Tim's side of it did not somehow connect or give God enough of me or enough of his time in me or whatever the case might be, or I took my eyes off of him, or I got tied into the things of the world, or my job and my career or my, and even your kids and even your home and all these things, they could take your eye off of what that is down the road if you allow it. And if you don't get yourself back to where it says, oh, I got to get to that point where God has for me to go, that's the future that I want. You have to keep everything in perspective. You got to keep everything to where the focus is that of God. Well, I'll come after you, Jesus, but let me go bury my father. No, you got to do that. You're not ready. You're not focused on me yet. It's not to say your parents and loved ones and family are not that important and things like that. You got to really read into that to understand those things. But it's the point in time to where We follow that of Christ. And I think a lot of those things, because see, I instead of saying, God, I will serve you right now, is I tried to tell God, I wasn't burying a family member or my dad, but I was saying, I will be glad to follow you, God, but let me work another 9 years with this company and I can retire at this particular age and I think it'll be okay and blah, blah, blah. And then I will be coming to serve you with everything I got. Anybody been there? But not for me. It wasn't saying, let the dead bury their dead. No, what God told me is, you want to give me your leftovers, Tim. No. I've shared that story and my testimony in that part too, guys. So you want to give me your leftovers. That's what he told that into my spirit, just like he was standing right here. All of a sudden, it's just like me and him are driving. He was having a coffee. I was having a coffee. We're driving down the road. Let me do this, God. And he says that, and I just about hit the brakes of the car, man. No. Because I loved God at that time so much. Remember? He'd already turned my thoughts of what I loved in my career of secular. He'd already got that all jumbled up because I asked him to. And when that happened, I asked him why it happened. And he says, Tim, don't you remember you asked me to do that? Yes, I did. Now I do. Thank you, God. Okay. Keep me focused, God. Keep me focused. So you got to be aware of what you ask him to do. He will do it, especially if it is to get you down to that part of that road that he wants you on. Because I gave him full bearance to say, here I am, Lord, if you want me to do that, I have got to hate my job. Oh, gosh, don't ever do things like that. 6 months later, I hated my job after 17 years or 16 years of just loving it and could I just, woo, wow, that's all I wanted. So when that happened, I had to ask him, why is this happening? And then his love and kindness says, because you asked him. Oh, yeah. I sure did. That was a learning point. That was a touch point. I like that with my grandkids, especially my one granddaughter. She'll be on my lap and all that, and I'll take my finger and I'll just go out like this. She'll take her little hand up like this, and we go like this. And then we laugh. Nothing about it, but it entertains Grandpa a whole lot, let me tell you. It's a touch point. See, God has put touch points, I hope, in your lives that you recall that he was there to touch you. And then 20 years later, something's going on. You go back 20 years. Ha, touch point. God spoke to me and said that so adamantly to me. I didn't even question it like, is that you, God? No. It's like, yes, I did ask you, God. Okay. I had my answer, why I hated my job. So we realize that God has our back, so to speak. Okay? He's not going to leave you alone. He's got your back. He has those plans for us. He's prepared those plans for us. He's ready to fulfill those plans for us. He's ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's the question. That's another part of the equation is, are you ready to say, God, the plans you have for me, I am ready and I am ready and able to go. So he has our back. He has the plans for us. He's prepared them for us. We need to fulfill them. This should give us and provide us that hope that the world cannot give us. God knows the future. He provides our agenda. He goes with us as we fulfill his mission. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're not going to fail. You're not going to fail if you're on his path, if you're following what he has asked you to do. There may be times you think you're going to fail. You may be times that you think, like, I don't think this has happened the way I think. But then again, when you question those things, God is so loving and kind, if he's like he was with me, that whenever I began to get kind of like a little antsy on some things, certain scriptures, or that came up, or those that scripture would come by an email from a website that I was a part of, but they would just send out things. And one day I was just really down on myself, thinking, this is really crazy. What's going on? Ho, 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 God. Open up the email. Back in then, it was emails. It wasn't text and Twitter. Remember those old days? How we've seen that change. And I'm not kidding. I opened that email, and boom, that scripture just hit my computer monitor. Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, 13, 14. I read that. A touch point with God that he hears my cries. He hears my concern, like, am I going crazy? Do I know what I'm doing? Am I having a crisis in my life at a midlife time of 39 to 42 or 38, 39? I tried to hang my hat on a midlife crisis, but it wasn't that at all. It was a God call. And it wasn't a God crisis, it was a God call that I began to think as the world thinks, right? Midlife crisis. God worked us through it, walked us through it, kept me attuned to it. But it'd be like that of faith. When you do a faith move to the point of you take that step, I'm committed. But I'm committed to a God that doesn't lie, to a God that has the future, to a guy that has the plan and the purpose for this life. And that if I trust him enough, which I did and I do, he will see me to fulfill it. I was wise enough to understand as well that it could have been me. And I went to this next step when I did that step. After a while, I said, but God, I give you, like he really needs my okay, I give you the okay, Lord, to set me back where I need to be. If I did this in error, or if I did this just on my own, want to do it. I was giving him the okay to correct me. Well, I've been in ministry now longer than I had for that of the secular job. But we've got to be honest with God. And if my daddy in heaven needs to spank me, correct me. My daddy in heaven wants to promote me, what's he going to do? He's going to promote you. Because why? It's all for him. We got to surrender ourselves. Not only did I surrender my life to Christ to have him come in, but it allows God to come in. And then through my walk with that, I had to continually reaffirm that with me to say, God, correct my life. Set my feet back on your path, not on this trail that I might have thought was you, but it's really me. He wants us to just come to him with an open heart. He wants us just to say, have your way. I'm a human being. I can have a lot of flaws, God. I know I'm created by you, but you put the will and the thoughts and all of these things in us and emotions. And our emotions can drive us this way or that way. Our thoughts can drive us this way or that way. And as we get into his kingdom and his allowing his authority in our lives, what we are doing is slowly taking those things out of ourselves, and we're getting to the point to where we say, I want just what you want. No more, no less. You know, if I were to die and this is the biggest the church gets and this is where it's at, I'm satisfied. Hallelujah. If it grows and does something else, I'll be satisfied. Glory, hallelujah. But I think he had his ideas planned because God knew the future. He knew we'd have to be distant. He knew we'd have to be at 25%. And with a small body of a church as ours, that means everybody can still go to church. Isn't that great? Awesome, man. I mean, God had us all planned out. Oh, back in the, 90s, grow the church, develop, get us, let us have 800 people. No. There's COVID coming in 2020. What is COVID? What is that? Trust me, it's a pain. God is so good. Woo, hallelujah. We just had a fun time up here. I'm sorry. We need to recognize that this does not mean that we would be spared from pain. Anybody going through pain? Oh, yeah, I've had some pain. Suffering, hardship. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through that. But that with God, he will see us through it to a glorious finish. And when we follow his plans, we ultimately give all the glory to God. He is loving, caring, and a concerning God, and he loves us. In that realm of hope, you can look at, hope will appear. I got three scriptures here that kind of follow along this, that I followed a little path out of this hope in some thoughts. Psalm 16:19. Well, that ain't it. Did I miss it somewhere? Well, I put the wrong one down. That's not it. Sorry. But anyway, I will put it out on the call. But there's three areas. One was in Psalms. Well, three of them were in Psalms, and each one of those, it took it, like Psalms, the first one I wanted to go to, it took it to Deuteronomy, and that hope turned into safety. And it kind of tied in that same word, hope, safety. And so I think I can look at that real quick. Deuteronomy 33:12, it says this in the scriptures of Benjamin, he said, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." Safety here talks about being securely in safety, in confident, in peace, in trustingly, the state of confidence, security, and safety that belongs to those who trust and rely upon the Lord. And let's see, it says here that it occurs more than 40 times in the Old Testament, is most often translated into safety, securely, or confidently, occasionally boldly, and then also it'll talk about as in hope. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it was. It's 16:9, Psalm 16:9, not 19. I think that's where it was from. So anyway, hope also has safety, safety of hope. Safety talks about peace, confidence, secure. See, is he has that hope that we have. It's all safe. It's all that. Now we get into the same thing in Psalms 31:24. We'll talk about hope, but it comes into meaning that of wait, and that's in Micah 7:7. Micah 7:7. I'm just going to touch on these real quick, and then that'll be it. Okay, so this would be in Micah 7:7. It talks here. It says, "Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." So this wait here talks about to wait, tarry, hope, trust, expect, to be patient, to remain in anticipation. See that hope that God has for us, a future and a hope. There's an anticipation. It appears 38 times in the Old Testament. It first occurs in Genesis 8:10. About Noah waiting for 7 days from the time he first sent out the doves. You have to wait, have hope. The correct way to hope and wait for the Lord is to steadfastly expect his mercy, waiting, not taking matters into your own hands. A future and a hope. See, a lot of times we don't work with God. We think God is slowing down, and we want to get to where we want to go fast. How about you guys? You know, it's been a long time. Look at what you're doing, Doug, and is you're just continuing to grow and develop and grow. And who's doing it all, though? God. God. He's opening up opportunities for you. More and more are coming your way. I just believe it, and it's just gonna mushroom out there, like whatever. But it's just going to happen. And one of these, you're going to be going like, wow, look where I came from. I didn't know nothing. Now look where I'm at, but thank God. And it's all for not Doug's glory, but it's for God's glory. Hallelujah. And he'll do those things and promote those things. Then one last time in Hosea. So in Psalm 71:5, when you read a hope there, it will refer to the hope. And it goes into Hosea 2:15. And this is where it actually is that of hope. Hope is hope. Where the other one, hope went to safety, hope went to wait. Now this hope in Psalm 71:5 refers back to a Hosea 2:15 hope. Hosea 2:15. And this here talks that I will give her her vineyards from there in the valley as a door of hope, and she shall sing there, and in the days of her youth, and in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. Hope, the door, a door of hope. Anybody need a door of hope in your life? Ooh, open that door. And this talks about here, hope, hope, expectation, something yearned for and anticipated eagerly, something for which one waits. Oh, they that wait upon the Lord. Comes from the verb meaning to wait for or to look hopefully in a particular direction. You know, we got to look at the right direction. Where is our direction? It's not looking to our past, is it? It's looking forward. It's looking down the road. It's that race that as a race is running, as that guy is running that marathon, he's looking ahead. And you know what he doesn't want to do? He does not want to look back to see how close his competitor is, because once you take your eye forward and you turn around, you begin to lose stride, and all of a sudden that person is only 3 steps away from you, zooms past you. You've got to don't look back. You got to keep going forward. Don't worry what's back there. Just be concerned with what's up ahead of you and to attain what that is that God has for you. Amen? To wait for or to look hopefully in a particular direction. Its original meaning was to stretch like a rope. It's translated line or cord. So goes into a lot of things there of hopes and cords and how all these words begin to intertwine. But here it is, it's that the future and that hope that God has for us. And we have it, you have it. And as I close out, here's for our lives today. Psalms 45. Lord my God, you have done many amazing things. You have made great plans for us. Too many to list. I could talk on and on about them because there are too many to count. The King James Version would say this, many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order, and if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Oh, our Lord, God, more than we can number. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we come today, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for encouragement it gives me. I trust it gives it to everyone here today. And that's what your word is about. It's to encourage us. It's to help us fulfill that destiny upon our lives that you have. It's to fulfill that plan, that purpose that each and every one of us has here to play. Lord, it's that part of also preparing your paths to come, preparing for you to come into people's hearts and lives, Father, so that their lives are changed just like ours have been changed and are changing. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for a continuing change in each of one of our lives. Let us be an example to those around us. Let us be that light. Let us be that salt. Let us be whatever you want us to be, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you and how we can bring this message to those, Lord, that you bring across our path. I love these people here, Lord. I know you love them. Bless them. Fill them with your joy. Fill them with your peace. Fill them with your health. Meet every need, I pray, Lord, financial, emotionally, physically, Lord. Touch each and every one of us now, Lord, in those areas of healings, Lord. Heal our emotions. Heal our minds. Heal our bodies. Oh, hallelujah. Heal our relationships, Lord. You are the Lord of all. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.